we are beginning Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. In the Mishnah we learned that if a person finds certain kalim, certain vessels, upon which there are images, either the image of the mazel of the sun, the mazel of the moon, or an image of a darkling, that these are assumed to be of a Zorah, they're Osir Bahanoah, and they ought to be brought to the Yam HaMelech. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said that there is a difference upon which kalim they are found. If it's Al HaMechubadim, if it is found on kalim which are treated with respect, then it is Osir, but if it's Al HaMevuzim, if it's on kalim which are treated in a very ordinary fashion, which are treated in a degrading way to Avodah Zarah, then those are not assumed to be Avodah Zarah, those are not made for Avodah Zarah, and they are Mutar Bahanoah. The Gemara explains what exactly is meant by Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in saying the difference between Mechubadim and Mevuzim. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Bechule. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said that if these are found on vessels which are mechubadim, it's also, but if they're found on vessels which are mevuzim, then it's mutter. The Gemara asks, Ezu hein mechubadim, ve ezu hein mevuzim, which are considered to be mechubadim, which are considered to be vessels which are treated with respect, and which are those vessels which are considered to be treated in a way that is degrading, it's degrading at least to Avodah Zarah, and therefore he assumes that they are not meant as Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Rav says, mechubadim lemaylo min hamayim, mevuzim lemato min hamayim. Rav learns pshat that these vessels are all talking about the same vessels. They're speaking about vessels which contain liquids, and mechubadim means if these images are to be found on the part of the vessel which is above the water level, above the part of the vessel which actually contains the water. For example, on the rim, says Rashi, of those vessels, that's mechubadim because it's on a part of the vessel which is not actually filled with water. Mevuzin is lamasa min hamayim. Mevuzin means if it's found on these kalim beneath the water level of the kli, if it's found on the side of the kli or the bottom of a kli, in the place where it actually holds the water, so that means it's treated in a derogatory way, and therefore we can assume that it wasn't meant as Avodah Zarah. So he's interpreting then Mechubadim and Mevuzin as speaking about the location of this image on the very same vessel. Ushmuel Omer, and Shmuel says, Eilu ve'eilu Mevuzin hen, that both on beneath the waterline of a vessel which holds water, or above the waterline, even on the rim of a vessel which contains water, are both considered to be Mevuzin, because since this vessel is used for such a thing, it's used to hold water, it too would not be used to carry an image of Avodah Zarah. Ela Eilu hein Mechubadim, the following are considered to be Mechubadim. Sha'al Hashirin, those that are found on bracelets. Ve'al Hanazamim, those that are found on nose rings. Ve'al Hatabayis, and those that are found on rings. So according to Shmuel then, the Mechubadim and Mevuzin are referring to two different kalim. Mechubadim are those kinds of vessels, those kinds of kalim, which are decorative in nature. Those are considered to be treated with respect. And the others are those which are actually used for common use, for carrying foods or water. That is considered to be Mevuzin. Tanya Kavasa Dishmuel, we learned the Braisa like Shmuel. Mechubadim is Shal Hashirin, Ve'al Hanazamim, Ve'al Hatabayis. Mechubadim are those which are on bracelets, on nose rings, or on rings. Mevuzin are Shal Hayoyrit, those that are on big pots, usually made of earthenware. Ve'al Hakum Kimasin, and those which are on small metal pots. Ve'al Mechame Hamayim, and that are on those vessels which are used to heat up water. Ve'al Hasadino, those that are on sheets. Ve'al Hamitpokas, and those that are on towels and similar items. Since those are used for common use, they're considered to be mevuzin in relation to Avodah Zarah, and therefore Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that there we can assume that these images were not meant to be worshipped as Avodah Zarah. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that someone who found vessels upon which there are these tzuras which are considered to be Avodah Zarah, yelichem liyam hamelech, that he should bring them and throw them into the Dead Sea. So the Mishnah describes the fact that they are to be treated as Avodah Zarah, that they are also b'hanoah, as yelichem liyam hamelech, throw them into the Dead Sea. The Mishnah uses this as the way of describing what is to be done with Avodah Zarah in order to make sure that no one derives any benefit from this Avodah Zarah, and the way of destroying the Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the beginning of Perek Zion, writes that it's actually a mitzvah saseh to destroy Avodah Zarah. Ayin Shom, there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz Rakoponim, it's a mitzvah saseh to destroy Avodah Zarah. This Mishnah goes into greater detail what is to be done in order to destroy Avodah Zarah. According to the Rambam, this is actually fulfilling a twofold purpose. One is to make sure that no one derives any benefit from the Avodah Zarah, and secondly, this is actually the way of fulfilling a mitzvah of destroying the Avodah Zarah. And our Mishnah describes how this mitzvah is to be done. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Shoychek v'zoyra l'ruach, that he should grind up the Avodah Zorah and cast it, disperse it in the wind. He should grind it up until it's a fine powder, and then the wind will merely carry it away, will disperse it completely, and that he will have completely destroyed the Avodah Zorah and made sure that no one will derive any benefit from the Avodah Zorah. Oy matil l'yam, or he should throw it into the sea. Now this Mishnah does not mention which yam we're speaking about. However, as Tosis points out, the Gemara in Psachim says that our Mishnah that says matil l'yam in reference to Avodah Zorah means into the Yam HaMelech, into the Dead Sea, as mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that whenever it mentions Yam in reference to Avodah Zorah, it means into the Yam HaMelech. And as Rashi explains over there in the Gemara Psachim, that is because the Yam HaMelech is not frequented by people on boats, and therefore there is no danger of anyone deriving any benefit or someone finding it in the sea and deriving any benefit from it, because there's no fish in that sea, people don't go there with boats, and they don't dig things up from the bottom of the sea. So therefore, no one will derive any benefit from it, so that is an effective way of destroying the Avodah Zorah. Mashenkin and other seas which are frequented by people on boats, we would still be afraid that perhaps someone will somehow derive some benefit from the Avodah Zorah. The Gemara over there discusses a question, how to learn Pshat in this halacha of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi gives two possibilities of destroying the Avodah Zorah. One is to disperse it in the wind, and the other is to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. The question is, this word shoyche, grinding it up, that Rabbi Yossi mentions, is that referring to both possibilities or only to the first possibilities? Is the Mishnah to be read shoychek v'zoyra l'ruach? One possibility is to grind it up and spread it out in the wind, and the second possibility is oy matel liyam, or without grinding it up, throw it into the Yam HaMelech. So the second way of destroying it would be just to take it and throw it into the Yam HaMelech without grinding it up first at all. Or are we to read the Mishnah that shoychek is referring to both possibilities? Shoychek, first of all, you grind it up, and then there are two possibilities. Either v'zoyra l'ruach, then you go on and disperse it in the wind, oy matel liyam, or then you take that powder, the grindings of the Avodah Zorah, and you throw those into the Yam HaMelech. So he has to be ground up in any case, and then there are two possibilities, either to just spread it out in the wind or to throw that into the Yam HaMelech. So that's a question discussed by the Gemara Psachim and Daf Chof Chet. Another question that's the pshat in our Mishnah is, when the Mishnah says Shoichik, that is to be ground up, there is a Tosis in Chulin Daf Peches Omid Beis, Dibra Matzal Shchikas Kli Mateches, where Tosis says that when the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says it is to be ground up, it means after burning it. First it is burnt, and then it is ground up. This is, appears to be a machloikas Yishayim. Tosis in our sugya doesn't seem to be saying that, and that shoichik merely means to grind it up. It can be ground up as it is. But the sheet of Tosis in Chulin is that it is to be burnt first and then ground up. Akoponim, Rabbi Yossi gives two possibilities of destroying the Avodah Zorah. One is to grind it up and just disperse it in the wind, and the other is to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Amrulay, the Chachamim said to him, they come to argue on this first way of merely grinding it up and dispersing it in the wind. Afu nasazevel, it too then becomes fertilizer because it spreads out, it lands on the field, and it has a fertilizing quality. V'nemar, and it says in the pasuk, l'yidbak b'yodcha mu'uma min hacherem, that nothing of the cherem, of that which is forbidden, should cling to your hand, that you're not allowed to derive any benefit at all from the Avodah Zorah. And even something which is not necessarily the derech to derive benefit from this Avodah Zorah, even that is forbidden. And there is some benefit here because it will serve as a fertilizer when it is spread out in the wind. Therefore, they disagree with this first way, and they say that the only thing to do is actually to bring it into, to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned it in Brice, Omer Lehem Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said to the Chachamim, V'aloi Kfar Nemar, behold, it already says in the Pasuk concerning the Egel, Ve'eschataschem asher asisem es ha'egel, your sin, which you made the Egel, Lokachti, I took it, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Vo'ekois oisoi tochen heit, and I took it and I smashed it until it was finely ground, until it was as fine as offer as dirt. And I threw this powder into the stream which was coming down from the mountain. So Rabbi Yossi is bringing a raya that we're not worried about the fact that it will become zevel, that will act as fertilizer, because we see that Moshe Rabbeinu took the egel, ground it up, and cast it into that stream. Now Tosis points out, even though in that case it says that he cast it into water, he threw it into the stream which was coming down from the mountain, that wouldn't make any difference according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, it has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, but this wouldn't help because here it's cast into the stream. The stream would, of course, then eventually throw it up onto its banks, and if we're choishish for the fact that it will serve as fertilizer, in this case also it would eventually end up fertilizing the fields around the stream. So therefore, this is a raya to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is bringing this as a raya. You see that we weren't choishish for the fact that it acts as zevel. Amrulay, the Chachamim said to him, Mishom Raya, from there you want to bring a proof. Harehu Omer, it says over there, Vayizer al Pnei Hamayim, Vayashkas Pnei Yisrael, that he spread it out on the water, on the surface of the water, and he gave it to the Bnei Yisrael to drink. Why did he do that? Leiniskavin Elu Leboid Kon Kesoytis. His intention was only to test them, to check them like Soytis, that by drinking this water, they would be tested, that the ones who had sinned would be punished through drinking this water upon which had been thrown this powder of the eagle, just as the May Saita checks the Saita. So Taisus explains that means that it was then drunk by the Bnei Yisrael. So all this was cast onto the water, was drunk by the Bnei Yisrael, and there wasn't anything left there that we had to worry about becoming Zevel and deriving Hanah from it. But in an ordinary case, where it is not afterwards consumed by anyone, if they would grind up the Avodah Zarah and throw it into a stream or a river, this would be also according to the Chachamim, because eventually it will end up fertilizing the banks of the river. So this is the machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. In that case, they say it was in any case drunk by the Bnei Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Omer lehem Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said to the Chachamim, he brought them another proof that this is a way of destroying Avodah Zarah. Avalo kvar ne'amar, behold, it already says in the Pasuk concerning the way that Oso HaMelech destroyed Avodah Zarah. It says, V'gam ma'acho aim Oso HaMelech, as the gears on the side, that's the way the Pasuk reads, and also ma'acho, the mother of Oso HaMelech, he'siro migvira, he removed her, he lowered her from any lordship over the country, because she was an Avedis of Avodah Zarah. Asher also saw l'ashera miflotis, that she made to the Asherah a monstrous Avodah Zarah, v'goymer, v'yidek v'yisrof ben Achal Kidron, and also ground it up, and he burned it in Achal Kidron. So the Pasuk describes the way he destroyed this Avodah Zarah was by grinding it up and burning it in Achal Kidron, in the Vadi of Kidron, and then allowing it to just be dispersed in the wind. That was the way he destroyed the Avodah Zarah, but he didn't bring it to the Yam. Omruloi, they said to him, Mishom Rai, you want to bring a proof from there? Nachal Kidron, Eina Megadol Smachim. Nachal Kidron, the Vadi of Kidron, does not grow any vegetation. So therefore, the chashash of it acting as fertilizer does not exist, because it's in an area which does not grow any vegetation. But to do it in an ordinary place which does grow vegetation, they say, is forbidden because it acts as Zevel. The Gemara asks, Veloi, is that so that Nachal Kidron does not grow any vegetation? V'hatanya, we learned in a Brisa, the Gears on the side is Vosan, it's actually a Mishnah. Elu ve'elu misarvin ba'oma. These and these, both the dam of Korbonis, which is Nizrak, which is thrown on the Mizbeach HaChitzon and the outer Mizbeach in the Azorah, and the dam of Korbonis, whose dam is thrown, where the dam is thrown in the inner, in the Mizbeach HaPnim, in the inner Mizbeach, inside the Heichal, however, which the remnant of the dam after the Zrika is then poured out to the base of the Mizbeach HaChitzon of the outer Mizbeach, both of these damim, Misarvin Ba'oma, they mix in the Oma, in a drainage canal, which went through the Azorah, the Yoytzin the Nachal Kidron, and they go out to Nachal Kidron, v'nimkorin liganonin lezevel, and they are sold to ganonin, to people who have gardens, who have to treat their gardens, lezevel, as fertilizer, umoyalin bohen, and there is an isser of mi'ila towards this gomim. As Rashi explains, it doesn't actually mean that a person who has enough from it is mechuyev a korban mi'ila. It's mutter b'hanor min hatoyer once the mitzvah has been done with this dam. However, there is an isser mitzvah to derive any benefit from it for the person who did not pay for it. So it has to be sold to the ganon and to the people who use it as fertilizer, and they're allowed to use it as fertilizer. Anyone else who derives any benefit of it from it is transgressing an isser. But akoponim, we see that it goes to Nachal Kidron and it's sold to people there to use as fertilizer in the Nachal Kidron. So we see that Nachal Kidron is a place where vegetation grows and that fertilizer is needed. So how can the Chachamim answer Rabbi Yosi that Nachal Kidron is not Megadol Tzmachim, and that's why there was no question there of this ground up of Avodah Zarah serving as Zevel? Our answer is Mekaymes, Mekaymes, Yesh, but there are different places within Nachal Kidron. Yesh Mokum Megadol Tzmachim, there's a place in Nachal Kidron which does grow vegetation, and that's what that Mishnah is speaking about, that those people would use the dam as Zevel. The Yesh Mokum She'em Megadol Tzmachim, there's a different part of Nachal Kidron which does not grow any vegetation, and that is the place where Oso HaMelech ground up the Avodah Zarah and dispersed it, so there it would not never come to any use as Zevel. The Gemara says, Maimaf Latzotza, what is meant in the Pasuk are her monstrosity? What Avodah Zarah is that referring to? Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said to have a Masli Leitzanusa, that she was wondrous in the extent of the mockery that she did with this Avodah Zarah. Kedetani Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef learned, Kemin Zachru Shavuos Asa Sovah. She made on the Avodah Zarah something in the shape of the aver of the male aver. And she would be nivellus to the Avodah Zarah every day. So that's referred to as mitzleses, which is masli leitzanusa, to do mockery to the extent of wonderment. Continues the Gemara, Omer lehen Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said to the Chachamim, he brought another raya that one can destroy Avodah Zarah by grinding it up and merely dispersing it in the wind. Behold, it says in the Pasuk, Bechitas nechash nechoshes asher osa moishah. This is speaking about Chizkiyo HaMelech. He ground up the snake of copper which Moshe Rabbeinu had made in the Midbar, because eventually in the passage of time people started worshipping it as Avodah Zarah. So it merely says over there that he ground it up, and there's no mention of him bringing it and throwing it into the sea. So we see that just by grinding it up and allowing it to be dispersed in the wind, as Tosfos points out, that is considered to be an effective way of destroying the Avodah Zarah, and will not choshish for the fact that it would become Zevel. Amrulay, they said to him, Misham Rai, from there you want to bring a proof. Harehu Omer, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem u'Moshe, Aseh lecha Sarah. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make for yourself a serpent. Lecha, what's meant by the word lecha? It should have just said Aseh Sarah. Lecha is Mishalcha, make it from your own. Make it from something which belongs to you. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by the Rabbeinu Shalom to make this Nechash HaNechoshes, he was told to make it from his own material, and therefore it actually belonged to him. A person cannot ask for something which does not belong to him. So even if later on they worshipped it as Avodah Zarah, it didn't really become Osir as Avodah Zarah, because it belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu or to his Yorshim. For Hosam, and there Bedinhu, actually Min Hadin Dichtuti Loi Havetzot, that really didn't have to be ground up at all. It doesn't have to be ground up, it doesn't have to be destroyed, because it doesn't have a din, an Isser of Avodah Zarah. It merely has to be put away, so they shouldn't worship it. Elakiv and Dechaza Dichoto Yisrael Basrei, since he saw that Klal Yisrael were straying after it, that some people were worshipping it as Avodah Zarah, Omer Bekitzitai, he got up and he ground it up to make it well known that this has been destroyed and that they shouldn't consider it as Avodah Zarah any longer. So therefore this is not a proof, because there the actual halachas of Avodah Zarah didn't apply. Omer lehem, he said to them, Rabbi Yosi said to the Chachamim, he brought another proof. V'aloi kvar nemar, behold, it says in the Pasuk, this is describing a battle between David and his men and the Plishtim, and that they conquered the Plishtim. V'yazvu shomes atzabeyim, that the Plishtim left over there their idols. V'yisoyim David v'anoshev, and David and his men, v'yisoyim, and his understanding of v'yisoyim is that he dispersed them in the wind. Umay mashma dahai v'yisoyim David Plishtim dizruyeh. Where is it mashma that word by Yisoyim David v'anoshav, that David and his men by Yisoyim, that this is a lashon which means spreading it out in the wind? Kidim targum Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef said, a targum of the pasuk Tizrem v'ruach Tisoyim. It says in the pasuk, you will cast them and the cast them out, and the wind will carry them away. Umetargaminan, and the targum is Rav Yosef was common. The Gemara quotes Rav Yosef always as the one who reported the targum of psukim in Navi. Rav Yosef used to report this targum, that the targum is Tazrinin v'ruach t'taltalinun, that you will cast them out and the wind will carry them away. So ruach t'isoyim means the wind will carry them away. So therefore he understands in this pasuk as well that by yisoyim dovid v'anoshev is that they caused it to be dispersed in the wind, and that's the way they destroyed the Avodah Zarah. So we see, says Rabbi Yosi, that that's the way that the Avodah Zarah can be destroyed. Amulai, they said to him, Mishom Raya, you want to bring a proof from there. Harehu oimer v'yisarfu be'esh. It says in a different pasuk, it says in the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, which describes the same incident, over there it says that they burned it in fire. And since it doesn't say it together in either of the psukim, that they burned it and vayisoyim, that would mean that they burned it and then they dispersed it in the wind. So we see from this that vayisoyim, that which it says over here vayisoyim, means mamish, that they carried it away, the lashon of a masa. So since it says in that pasuk in Divrei Yom, describing the same incident, that they burnt it. So we see that the way that they were to destroy the Avodah Zarah was first by burning it. So if this pasuk would be describing the way they destroyed the Avodah Zarah, it would say that they burnt it and they dispersed it in the wind. It doesn't say that. It says merely vayisoyim. So vayisoyim means that they carried it away. In other words, they actually took it for themselves. So as the Gemara will explain, the two psukim are not describing the same action. The pasuk in Divrei Hayomim is saying that they burnt it, and the pasuk in Shmuel Beis is saying that they carried it away, that they took it for themselves. In any case, the psukim then are difficult, are contradicting one another. Says the Gemara, kid Rav Huna. This is the answer by as Rav Huna did. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna asked the contradiction. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, it says in describing this same incident that David gave a command, and they were burnt in fire. Uksi vayisoyim. And on the other hand, in Shmuel Beis, it says that they carried it away, that they carried these idols away, meaning that they took it for themselves. On that, Rav Huna answered, Lekasha, this is not difficult. Kan koidim shabo itai hagiti, that this pasuk that says that they burnt it in fire, it doesn't mean that they actually burnt it. It means he gave a command that they should burn it. That was before Itai Hagiti, who was one of the faithful men of David, and he was an Oved Koichovim, he was a non-Jew. So the command that David HaMelech gave that it be destroyed was before he showed up and joined the ranks of David HaMelech. Kan la'acha shabo Itai Hagiti. This pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which says that Vayisoyim, which we are translating now as they carried it away and they actually used these idols. They took them and they used them for themselves. They were able to derive benefit from them is after Itai Hagiti came and joined their ranks, and he was mevatlet from being of a desire. The halacha is that an of a desire of Akum, that a different Oivir Kechavim can be mevatlet, and it becomes Mutar Bahana. So Itai Hagiti came, and he was mevatlet, and it became Mutar Bahana, and therefore they were able to take them away and derive benefit from it. As the Radak says on this Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, he explains that Itai Hagiti, who is mentioned later on, where the Psukim describe David HaMelech running away from Avshalom, and Itai Hagiti is described as one of the loyal servants, the loyal followers of David HaMelech. Itai Hagiti was actually one of the Plishtim, and in this Milchama with the Plishtim, when he saw that David and his men were winning, he changed side and he became one of the loyal followers of David HaMelech. So it was at this point that he actually showed up, that he joined the ranks of David HaMelech. So before that, David HaMelech gave the command to destroy, to burn all of these idols which were found in the booty which they had taken from the Plishtim. But when Itai Hagiti showed up, then he was able to be Mevatalit, and then Vayisam, then they were able to derive benefit from them, to take them away and to use them for something. Dichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, where do we find that they were able to derive benefit from an Avodah Zorah which they had taken? They took the crown of Malkom. Rashi says Malkom is the name of the Avodah Zorah of Amon from its head, and its weight was a kikar of Zov. It's a vast amount of gold. A kikar is 60 money of gold. So then the pshat, according to our Gemara, of Malkom doesn't mean the crown of their king, meaning their actual king, but rather the crown of their Avodah Zorah. They took this, and then the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes it, Mishkola Kikar Zov, its weight was a kikar of gold, Be'evin Yukara, and an expensive stone, but Tehi Al Reish David, and it says it was on the head of David, that they used it, that David used it as a crown. The Gemara asks, Umishori, is it then permitted? Yisuri Hanonu, this is Yisuri Hano. It's the crown of the Avodah Zorah, it's part of the Avodah Zorah, and it's also Bahana. Rav Nachman said, Itai Hagiti Bo Bitla, that Itai Hagiti came, and he was Mevatlet, because one Oivik Kechavik could be Mevatlet, the Avodah Zorah of Oivik Kechavim, and therefore it became Mutar Bahana. So here we find an instance of Itai Hagiti being matter and Avodah Zorah through Bittel. So we'll say the same thing in this pasuk as well concerning the Atzobim of the Plishtim, that Batisoya means that they actually took it for themselves, they did not have to destroy it, and therefore it has nothing to do with the halacha of the destruction of Avodah Zorah. It wasn't destroyed at all. The Gemara goes on to explain something in this pasuk, Mishkola Kikar Zov. It says that its weight was a Kikar Zov. Hechi Motzi Manachla. How was David HaMelech able to wear this crown? It says that Tehi Al Reish David was on the head of David. It can be worn by an Avodah Zorah, which doesn't feel it, but how could it be worn by David HaMelech? It's too heavy. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ru'uyo Vanuach Al Reish David. It's fit to rest on the head of David. Doesn't mean that he actually wore it as a crown. It means that they merely placed it for a moment on the head of David Melech and saw that it fit the head of David HaMelech. As the Gemara will say, there's something special about the fact that this fit the head of David HaMelech. So it's Ru'uyo Nuchbat, Tehi Al Reish David, it fit the head of David HaMelech. Not that he was actually able to wear it as a crown. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina says, Evin She'eves Hoisabo, it had in it a magnetic stone, the Havis Dorla, which would lift it up. So Tosfos says that this means the stone wasn't actually in the crown, but the stone was above the crown when he would wear it and sit on the throne, on his throne, there was a stone above it which would lift it up and have it, so to speak, hover above the head of David HaMelech. It would be resting on David HaMelech's head, but not actually, its weight would not be felt by David HaMelech because it was being lifted up by this Evan She'ov. So in that way, it was able to actually be worn by David HaMelech. Rabbi Elazar says, Evan Yukara Hoisabo She'ov Kikar Zov, that it had a precious stone in it, which was worth a kikar zav. It doesn't mean that its weight was actually a kikar zav, but it had the precious stone, which was worth a kikar zav. As the Marsha explains, it says in that pasuk, "Umishkola kikar zav the even yikara." So according to this, then according to Rabbi Lazar, the even yikara is the explanation of mishkola kikar zav. It's mishkola kikar zav because of this even yikara. It had that value because of this precious stone. So it's a machloikis, and according to of these Amorayim, whether in fact it weighed that much, and if it did weigh that much, whether it was really worn or whether it was merely placed on the head of David HaMelech momentarily, and it was seen to fit his head. Now the Gemara goes on to describe what's the inyan of the fact that this was able to fit the head of David HaMelech. It says in the pasuk in Tehillim, "Zois hoisaliki pikudecha natsarti." David HaMelech says, "This was to me because I guarded your commandments." And it's not clear what is meant by zois. This, what is it referring to? Michael Omar, what is meant in this pasuk by zois? What is it referring to? Hachik Omar, this is what the pasuk means. "Bischashi pikudecha natsarti," as a reward for the fact that I guarded your pkudim, your statutes, your mitzvahs. "Zois hoisali," this was to me le'edus, as a testimony. What testimony? This is referring to this very crown that we mentioned before. My edusa, what is its testimony? How is this a testimony to David HaMelech? Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Shehoya menicho b'mokim tefillin v'homosai," that he placed it on the place where the tefillin are ordinarily placed on the head, and it fitted him exactly. And this was a necessitous because it was shaped in such a way where it shouldn't have actually fitted in that part of the head, and nonetheless it did fit exactly. So this was a nes and showed that David HaMelech is roi to be melech. As we'll see in the Gemara says that this crown was used as a sign for who is fit to be melech over Klal Yisrael. Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chof Aleph, where the Gemara brings this same inyan, explains that this crown had a scepter-like bar going within the crown from wall to wall. Within the circle of the crown there was a bar going across, and an ordinary person could not actually place it on his head. Only those who were roi to be melech on Klal Yisrael had a certain indentation in their head, and therefore they were able to wear this crown in spite of the fact that it had a bar going across from one side to the other within the crown. So this was a sign for the one who is roi to be melech over Klal Yisrael. The Gemara asked the Haboy Anuchei Tefillin, if he has to wear tefillin. If he put this on the Mokum Tefillin, how was he able to wear his tefillin? This is following Zman D'Omer, the Gemara before, that he actually wore this as his crown. He didn't just put it on momentarily. So if so, how was he able to wear the crown and the tefillin at the same time? There's place on the head actually to place two tefillin shel roish. So there is place in the mokum tefillin both for the tefillin, for a small pair of tefillin, and for this crown. And David HaMelech was able and wore both. Continues the Gemara, "Vayitziu es ben hamelech, vayitnu olav es hanezer ve'es ha'edus." This is speaking about where Asalia, the mother of Achazyohu, killed the Zerah Hamlucha, killed all of those children and all of those descendants of the kingship of David HaMelech who were fit to be king over the land, so that she would rule over the land. And the sister of Yoyosh saved him by hiding him in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was saved. Later, when he was 7 years old, they took him out. They took out the ben hamelech, Yoyosh, the son of Achazyohu, and they made him melech over Klal Yisrael, and they killed Ataliah. So it says when they took him out, they took out the ben hamelech, vayitnu olav, and they placed upon him Esanezer, the crown, the Esaedus, and the testimony. What testimony is this referring to? Says the Gemara, Nezer Zuklila. Nezer means the crown. Edus, it is actually this crown itself which is referred to as the Edus. The Gemara is saying that what the pasuk means is the Nezer, which serves as an Edus, as a testimony to his being fit to be melech. Om Rav Yudah, Om Rav. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, Edus hu lebeis David, shekol haroi lemalchus homasai. It is a testimony for the household of David HaMelech, that whoever is fit for Malchus, who is fit for kingship, who is supposed to be the Melech, it fits him. And whoever is not fit to be Melech, it does not fit him. Either as Tosfos explains, because of its shape, it wouldn't fit the Mokum Tefillin, or as Rashi explains in Masechta Sanhedrin, because it had this bar going across, and it could only fit upon the head of someone who had this special indentation in his head, which showed that he was right to be Melech. Continues the Gemara, another application of this Nezer, of this crown. Adonio ben Chagis misnasei lemur ani emlech. Adonio, the brother of Shlomo Melech, the son of David HaMelech, raised himself up, saying, "I will rule." Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, what does it mean, misnasei? What does it mean that he attempted to raise himself up? She misnasei l'holmei v'loi holmosei. That he raised himself up to fit this crown on his head, but it did not fit him, because the crown would only fit on the head of the one who was actually right to be Melech, which of course was Shlomo HaMelech. This is again concerning Adonio ben Chagis, that he made chariots and people riding on horses, and 50 people running before him. What is special about these 50 men? Rashi explains here that since it says Vayas, he made them. What did he do to these 50 men that made them special? Rashi and Sanhedrin explains that 50 men running before him is not so much for the son of the king in any case. So what was so special about these 50 men? Tono, we learned, Kulam netulei techol v'chakukei kapos haraglayim hoyu. All of them, their spleen was taken out, and the bottoms of their foot, the flesh from the bottom of their foot was removed. Rashi explains that the spleen weighs down a person, and these people all had their spleens removed so that they could run very fast, faster than anyone else, and also the bottoms of their feet had the flesh removed. They were chakuki kapas haraglayim, so that they could run over anything, and they wouldn't feel what they were stepping on. They could run over thorns and stones, and it wouldn't affect them, wouldn't slow down their running. So this was vayas. This was something that he had done to these people, to these chameishimis, which was special about them, in order to show that he wanted to become melech. Now we go on to the next Mishnah on Omid Beis. Says the Mishnah, Shoal Prukalus ben Philosophus es Rabbi Gamliel ba'Akko. A Gentile general named Prukalus ben Philosophus asked Rabbi Gamliel in the city of Akko, Shohayoroichet b'merchet shel Afruditi, that Rabbi Gamliel was washing in the bathhouse of the Avodah Zorah of Afruditi. There was a courtyard. There was this Avodah Zorah standing there. There was a courtyard. And in the courtyard was a merchat, it was known as the merchat of Afruditi. And Rav Gamliel frequented this merchat, and this Gentile general asked him this question when Rav Gamliel was in the merchat and using the merchat. Omaloi, this Proclus ben Philosophus asked Rav Gamliel, Kosu b'sarachem, it says in your Torah, Muyidbak b'yotcha mu'uma min hacherem, that it shall not cling to your hands anything from the cherem, from that which is to be destroyed. So you're not allowed to derive any benefit from a v'dezorah. Mitzne ma'at reichet b'merchat shel Afroditi. Why do you wash in this bathhouse of Afroditi? This is the bathhouse of Afroditi standing in this courtyard of the Avodah Zorah, and you use this bathhouse. Aren't you deriving benefit from this bathhouse which services and beautifies the Avodah Zorah? Omar Loi, Rabbi Gamliel told him right there in the Merchat, Ein Meshivin B'Merchat. You don't answer in the Merchat. That's all he told him, that we can't speak Divrei Torah in the Merchat. Ukashiyotza, when he went out, Omar Loi, he said to him, Ani Loi Bosi Bigvula. I didn't enter its border. He bought Bigvuli. It, the Avodah Zorah, entered my border. Rashi explains this means that this was a merchat, this was a bathhouse, and used by the rabbin, by the multitude of people, before the Avodah Zorah was built there. And therefore, just as there is a halacha of Einor Demoyser Dover She'einor Shaloi, that a person can't ask for something which doesn't belong to him, which belongs to someone else, here too, the merchat didn't enter the border of Afroditi, that the Avodah Zorah wasn't there when the merchat was built, that we should say that it was built in a way that would be osur. Rather, the merchat was there before, and it already belonged, so to speak, to the rabbin. And therefore, even when the Avodah Zorah is made, this would not osur the merchat. That's the first reason that he gave him. Ein oimrim, now Rashi says that this is a second reason. It's as if the Mishnah would say va'oid, and there's another reason as well. Ein oimrim nasa merchat noi la'afroditi. When people don't say, let's make the merchat as a beautifying thing for the Afroditi, elo oimrim nasa afroditi noi la'merchat. Rather, a person says, let's make this statue of Afroditi as a noi, as something beautifying the merchat. The merchat is what serves the actual purpose, and it's the Afroditi which is built there to beautify the merchat. So he's saying then that although this is known as the Merchat says Afroditi, it's not because it is considered to be something which is beautifying Afroditi and it therefore has the din of Meshamshei Avodah Zorah. It's rather the Iker is the Merchat, the main thing is the Merchat, and the Tofel, the item which is actually acting as an auxiliary to the Merchat, is the Afroditi. That's serving the Merchat. So the Merchat is not Meshamshei Avodah Zorah, it's not Tofel to the Avodah Zorah, it's the Avodah Zorah which is serving as a way of beautifying the Merchat. So this, as we mentioned, Rashi says, is a second reason. The first reason was that even if it should be osur, it can't be osur because the Afroditi can't ask for the merchat since it already belongs to the rabbin. And now he's saying that it doesn't really have a reason to be osur because it's not considered to be servicing the Avodah Zorah at all. The Avodah Zorah is there to beautify the merchat. Dover Acher, another reason why it's not osur, im noisim l'cha momen harbe, he said to this Gentile, if they would give you a lot of money, you would not enter the place of your Avodah Zorah naked or a balkeri and urinate in front of it. You wouldn't act that way towards your Avodah Zorah in such a disrespectful way. Zu, this Avodah Zorah, oimedes al pi habiv, it stands at the mouth of the sewage drain, v'chol kol ha'om mashtinin lefanel, and everyone urinates in front of it. So we see that it's not treated as of a zara at all. Lo ne'emar elo eloheim. It says in the pasuk that you are to destroy their god, their idol. Eshenoyeg v'mishum aloya oser. That which they treat as an aloya, as an idol, as something divine, is oser. Eshenoyeg v'mishum aloya mutter. But that which is not treated as something divine is permitted. So we see that this is not treated by the oyv of a zara as an avodah zara at all. So this is the third reason. The first reason was that even if it should be oser, it can't ask for the merchas. The second reason was that there's no reason for the merchas to be oser because it's not serving the avodah zara. It's not tuffle auxiliary to the avodah zara. To the contrary, the avodah zara is there to beautify the merchas. And the third reason is that this is not really the kind of avodah zara which is oser at all because it's not treated as an avodah zara. It's treated in such a disrespectful way that we see that it's not treated and considered to be avodah zara. And therefore it is permitted for Rabbi Gamliel to wash in this merchas shell aphrodite. The Turei Evin, as brought by Rabbi Akiva Eger and Gilian Hashas, the Turei Evin and Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel, discusses the question on our Mishnah, how is it that he taught these reasons, that he taught Torah to an Akum? The Gemara there says, Ein Moisin Divrei Torah Le'Akum, that you don't give over Divrei Torah to an Akum. And the Turei Evin discusses our Mishnah, how was it that he did teach this Torah and gave these reasons to an Akum, and proves from here that under certain circumstances this is permitted, Ayin Shom. The Gemara asks the Kasha on the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we learned that as soon as he asked in the question, and apparently they were still inside the merchats, that he told him, Ein mashivin b'merchats, that you don't answer in a merchats. And then when he went out, he gave him the actual reasons why it is permitted for him to use this merchats. The Gemara asked, Hechi avitachi, how is he even able to say, Ein mashivin b'merchats? That itself is a halacha. Ein mashivin b'merchats, that we're not allowed to answer in divrei Torah in a merchats, is a statement of halacha. V'ho'am Rabba Bar Bachana, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Bachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, B'cho mokoy mutter lahar, that in every place it is permitted to think in divrei Torah, chutz mi beis ha-merchats, except for a bathhouse and a beis hakise. So it was, how was it permitted for him to say ein mashivin b'merchats? V'chitema, and if you will say b'loshen chol amarle, that he said it in a profane language, he didn't say it in loshen hakodesh, obviously, and that therefore it was permitted. V'ho'omer Abaya, dvarim shel chol mutter lo'omrim b'loshen kodesh. Abaya said that things which are profane, ordinary weekday things, a person can say it even in loshen kodesh. Dvarim shel kodesh also lo'omrim b'loshen chol. But items which are kodesh, divrei Torah, dvar halacha, one is not allowed to say, even if it is said in a profane language. In other words, the criterion for whether one is allowed to speak divrei Torah, divrei Kedusha in a merchats or a beis hakise is not the language in which it is spoken, it's what is spoken, whether it's divrei Torah, whether it's divrei Kedusha, or whether it's divrei chol. So ein mashivin b'merchats is a dvar halacha, and it doesn't make a difference in which language he said it. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a brisa, kishiyotza omaloi ein mashivin b'merchats. When he went out, he said ein mashivin b'merchats. Now, b'pashtus, what the brisa is saying is then that in the merchats he didn't say anything to him at all. When he left, he explained to him ein mashivin b'merchats, that we don't answer in a merchats. Thereby, he explained to him why he hadn't answered him in the merchats. And then he went ahead and actually gave him the reasons why it was permitted for him to use the merchats. Now, some of the Rishonim say, therefore, the Ritz and the Ran bring this explanation, that we therefore have to amend our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it says explicitly not that way. In the Mishnah, it says that he said, Ein Meshivim B'merchats, and then, Ukashiyotza Omaloi Anile Bosa B'Gvula. So he said, Ein Meshivim B'merchats before he went out. So we would have to amend the Mishnah and learn that the Mishnah is saying that he said, Ein Meshivim B'merchats only after he went out, and then he went on to explain, Anile Bosi B'Gvula gave his explanations why he's allowed to wash in the merchats. Taisa says a different shot, a different way. The other is trying to bring this second pshat as well, a different way how the Mishnah and the Braisa can coincide. Tosfos says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that in a merchats there are three rooms. There's the inner room, that is the place where the actual washing is done. There's a middle room, which is the dressing room of the merchats, and there's the outer room, which is just a reception room for the merchats. Now, the outer room is not osur at all. There, a person can even speak in divrei Torah, in any kind of divrei Torah, because everyone in that outer room is still dressed. It's only a reception room. In the most inner room, where the people are actually washing and everyone there is unclothed, there it is forbidden even not only to speak an actual divrei Torah, but even Sheila Shalom is also. Even to say Shalom Aleichem to someone is also, because Shalom is the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and even that is forbidden. In the middle room, the dressing room, where people are dressing and some are unclothed and some are clothed, there it has a middle halacha. The halacha is that actual divrei Torah are also, but Sheila Shalom, to say Shalom Aleichem, even though Shalom is the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is permitted. Taisa says that this terse statement, Ein Meshivin B'Merchat, that Rambam Gamliel said at first to this non-Jewish general, and which he had to say because of Darkei Shalom, because he was asking him a question and he couldn't just ignore him, so he had to answer him something, and he said in Meshiva B'Merchet, that is the same din as Sheila Shalom, because it also has to do with Darkei Shalom, and it's also a very short statement. So therefore, it says Tosfos that they were at that time standing in the actual Merchatz. They were standing in the Merchatz itself, in the most inner room. There he couldn't answer anything, and that was the Gemara's Kasha, that if they were actually in the Merchatz where he was washing himself, that he couldn't answer anything, even Ein Meshivin B'Merchatz. The Gemara brings a Braisa which says that first he went out. Explain Tosfos, he went out from the most inner room to the middle room, to the dressing room, and there he was able to say Ein Meshivin B'Merchatz, because that has a din of She'ela Sholem. Then says the Mishnah, when he went out from that room, and he went into the outer room, when he left even the middle room, even the dressing room of the Merchatz, there he was able to actually explain to him the reasons why he was allowed to use the Merchatz. So the Braisa is correct in saying that when he went out, he was able to say Meshivin B'Merchatz, because it means when he left the most inner room of the Merchatz, the actual washing room of the Merchatz. And the Mishnah says that he said there. It doesn't describe where he came from, but it says he said Meshivin B'Merchatz. And when he left that place, when he went into the most outer room of the Merchatz, then he was able to explain to him the reasons why he was allowed to use the Merchatz. The Ran says basically the same thing, but in a somewhat different way. The Ran also explains that there are three places in a Merchatz. However, the Ran says that the statement, a terse statement of halacha such as Ein Meshivin B'Merchatz, without explaining the reason for it at all, just making a dry statement, Ein Meshivin B'Merchatz, has a din not of actually speaking Divrei Torah, but of hirhur of Divrei Torah. It has a din of thinking about Divrei Torah. We don't give it the status of actual Divrei Torah concerning these halachas, but rather that of hirhur of Divrei Torah. One can be bedayek this from the Gemara, with the Gemara in asking its question asked, B'chol mokay mutter laharher, chut mibes ha-merchatz mibes ha-kisa. The question was that it's forbidden even to think in Divrei Torah, and making a statement of Ein Meshivin B'Merchatz is the same as tantamount to thinking about Divrei Torah, although it's not really considered to be speaking about Divrei Torah. Therefore, the same as Tosfos, he says that when they were in the inner room, he wasn't able to tell him anything. That was the Gemara's Kasha, because their hearer is Aser. When then Kishiyotza says the Braisa, went into the middle room, he was allowed to say Ein Meshivin B'Merchatz, because that only has a din of hearer. And the Mishnah says when he left the middle room and went out further, then he was actually able to explain to him, because there he's allowed to speak in Divrei Torah. So right. This pshat of the Ran follows the same lines as that of Tosfos. However, the difference between them is, as pointed out by Chedushei Anshei Shem on the Ran, is that the Ran is saying that this is considered to have a din of hearer, and it's totally permitted in the middle section of the Merchatz. Tosfos is saying not that it has a din of hearer, but it has a din like She'elas Shalom, and it's permitted because it is a short statement, but also because there is an idea of Darkei Shalom here, that this general would be insulted and angered if he wouldn't answer anything at all, and therefore just as She'elas Shalom is permitted, this too is permitted because it's also it involves also Darkei Shalom. So it's only permitted according to Tosfos because of Darkei Shalom. According to the Ran, it's permitted because it's hearer, and hearer is permitted in the middle room of the Merchatz. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rab Choma Bar Yosef Berebi, Omer Rab Boishia, Rab Choma Bar Yosef Berebi said in the name of Rab Boishia, Tshuva Gnuva Heshiva Ram Gamliel Oisoi Hegman, a stolen answer, Ram Gamliel answered that general. Rashi explains that Tshuva Gnuva means Dechoy Bakash, that he pushed him with straw. In other words, he gave him an answer which wasn't actually correct. Tosfos says that the expression Dechoy Bakash is inappropriate here because that would imply that the answer is not a good answer, that it isn't a reason why it should be permitted. And as we'll see in some of the explanations of the Gemara, why this is a Tshuva Gnuva, it's not really saying that it's not a good answer. It's just saying that the answer is not exact because it would be mutter in any case, as we'll see in the Gemara. So Tosfos therefore says that Tshuva Gnuva means an answer which is covered up. It's something which is inexact, unclear, because it is not exactly the reason why it is mutter. Vani Oimer, this Rav Choma Bar Yosef quoted Rav Oishi as saying, Vani Oimer, says Rav Choma Bar Yosef, ain't a gnuva, and I say that it's not gnuva, it's not inexact at all, it's a very good answer. Magnuvase, in what way is it a stolen answer? What is the Omar that he said to him, Zu oimedes al pi habiv, the whole other mashtin bifoneho. He said that this Aphrodite, this Avodah Zarah, is standing at the mouth of the sewage drain, and everyone urinates in front of it, and therefore it's not treated as Avodah Zarah. The reason why this is not a good answer, v'chimashin bifoneho my havi, just because the people urinate in front of it, so what? V'ho amar Rava said, Pa'or yochiach, that the Avodah Zarah of Pa'or can be brought as a proof, shemefarin lefon front of Bechol Yom, that they reveal themselves in front of it and defecate in front of it every day, that in fact is its avoida, they ain't a bottle, and it doesn't become bottle through that. So we see that it can be treated in such a manner, and it doesn't cease to be avoida zara. So that's why Rabbi Yishia considered this to be a tshuva gnuva. Va'ani Oimer, Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef says, ain't a gnuva, it's not gnuva, it's a correct answer. Zu avidasa bekach, pa'or, that is the way that it is worshipped. V'zu ain't avidasa bekach, but this is not the way that it's worshipped. In the case where pa'or, where that's the way it's worshipped, it doesn't cease to be avoida zara because that is done in front of it, because that's its worship. But in this case, where that is not its worship, if this is done in front of it, we see that it's not treated with any kind of respect. It's not treated as avoida zara at all. Omar Abaya says, Gnuvasa Mihocha, that what was meant by Rabbi Yishia saying that it's a tshuva gnuva is for the following reason. The reason why it's gnuva is from here. Deka Omar Le, because he said to him, Ani Loi Basi Bigvula, referring to that reason, the first reason that he gave. He said, I didn't enter its border, but he bought Bigvuli. It entered into my border. And therefore it can't aser the Merchat, because the Merchat already belongs to the Rabbin. But he bought Bigvula, my Havi, had the Merchat entered the border of the Avodah Zarah. So what? Why would that be a reason that it should be Aser? But Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Avodah Kechavim Sheyesh Lo Merchat Oygina, that an Avodah Zarah which has a bathhouse or a garden, Nehenin Mehen Shaloi B'Toiva, that one is allowed to derive benefit from them as long as it is Shaloi B'Toiva. Rashi explains to you that Shaloi B'Toiva means if he doesn't have to express any feeling of obligation or gratitude to the priests of the Avodah Zarah for using this Merchat or Gina. Rashi over there in Daphne Aleph explains that Shaloi B'Toiva means without having to pay any schar, without having to pay anything for the use of the Merchat or the Gina. But in any case, if he does not give anything to the Avodah Zarah, this is permitted. Ve'ein ehen and mehen B'Toiva, but one is not allowed to derive benefit from them. If it is B'Toiva, if he does have to give something, either as Rashi says, says here a feeling of gratitude or obligation, or as Rashi says there, if he has to pay for it. In that case, it's Aser. So we see over there that a Merchat or a Gina, which belongs to the Avodah Zarah, and which was actually built when the Avodah Zarah is already there, is still permitted b'hanah. So why did Rabbi Gamliel have to say that it entered my border, that the Merchat was here before? In any case, it's not Aser, because ain hektish l'Avodah Zarah, there's no such thing as hektish to Avodah Zarah. It's only something which was actually used to serve the Avodah Zarah, which becomes Aser, and this is not actually used to serve the Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's not Aser b'hanah at all. And this too is called the Tshuva Gnuva. Taisus explains, even though it's a correct answer, but it is an unnecessary answer. It's an inexact answer. Bani Oimer, and Abaya says that Rechama v'Yosef meant by saying that I say ain't a gnuva, that it's not gnuva, that Shaloi b'toivas Rabbi Gamliel ki b'toivas acherim dami, that Rabbi Gamliel Shaloi b'toivas, without having to say thank you or without actually having to pay anything, is like other people doing it b'toivas. If they do have to give something to the Avodah Zarah, because since Rabbi Gamliel is an Adam Chashuv and it's an honor for them that he comes to wash in their merchat, so he's considered to be giving them something by washing in the merchat, even though he doesn't give them anything else. So therefore, if this would be built for the Avodah Zarah, if the Avodah Zarah had been there first, it would be Aser. But because the Merchat was there first, he's saying that it doesn't have the right to Aser anyone's use of the Merchat, because the Merchat was used in this way before. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya says, Knuvasa Mehocha, that the reason why Rabbi Yishia said that it was a stolen answer, that it's an answer which is incorrect, inexact, Mehocha, it's from here. It's from this statement that was made by Rabbi Gamliel. It is this particular statement of Rabbi Gamliel which Rabbi Yishia commented is a tshuva gnuva. Because Rabbi Gamliel said to him, "Zu emedes al habiv v'chol adam ashtinin b'faneha." He told him that it's not treated like a avodah zarah because it stands by the drainage, by the sewage drain, and v'chol adam ashtinin b'faneha, everyone urinates in front of it, so it's not treated as a avodah zarah, and therefore doesn't have the yisurim of a avodah zarah, don't apply to it. This is a tshuva gnuva, said Rabbi Yishia, v'chi mashtinin b'faneha my havi. So what if they're mashtinin b'faneha? That is not a reason why it should be mutter. But it's not. Behold, we learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah is describing how the bittul of Avodah Zarah is to be done. We know that there's a law of bittul of Avodah Zarah, that if another Oved Kechavim is mevatel, he does something to the Avodah Zarah to show that it's no longer treated as Avodah Zarah, that it ceases to be Aser Bahanah, it becomes Mutter Bahanah, and the Mishnah describes how the bittul is to be done. So the Mishnah says that the bittul is done by him smashing it or breaking a piece off, that is considered to be a bittul. Says the Mishnah, however, Rok b'faneho, if he spit it in the face of the Avodah Zarah, Hishin b'fanehu, urinated on the Avodah Zorah, girero, he dragged it along the ground, v'zorah b'asav soya, or he threw soya at it, harezu enu b'teilu, the Avodah Zorah is not bottle. These degrading acts towards the Avodah Zorah did not constitute a bittle of the Avodah Zorah. So therefore, Rabbi Yishiyah says, this is a tshuva gnuva, just because they treat the Avodah Zorah in a degrading way, we see that this doesn't constitute a bittle of the Avodah Zorah. So here too, this shouldn't be a reason why it is not Avodah Zorah. Vani Oimer, and according to this, Rabbi Chama bar Yosef said, "Einu gnuva." This is not an incorrect answer. Hasam lefi shaytehu. Over there, it's only done temporarily. He does it one time. Why do we say that it's not a bittul? Rosa chalo. He's angry at the avodah zara v'hoder b'fayisla, and then he makes up with the avodah zara. So therefore, such a thing is not considered to be a bittul. But ha kol shaytehu v'shaytehu bizulzula kaim. Over here, at every time, it is standing in that situation of degradation. So we see that it's not treated as an avodah zara at all. Over there, that we should say that that's a bittul because he does this at one time. It's not considered to be a bittul because we say that now he's angry and later he'll make up and it still will be an avodah zara. If he breaks it, then he's showing that he never wants to treat it as avodah zara again. But here where it stands constantly in the situation of degradation, it's not treated as avodah zara, and therefore the isurim of avodah zara do not apply. Rabba Bar Ula, Omar Gnuva Samehach, Rabba Bar Ula said that the reason why it's a tshuva gnuva is from here, from this point, which was made by Rabba Gamliel. Tiko Omar Lei, because he said to him, Ein Oimrin Nasa Merchat Noi La Afroditi, El Nasa Afroditi Noi La Merchat, that we don't say, let's make the Merchat as something to beautify the Afroditi. Rather, we say, let's make an Afroditi, let's make this statue of Afroditi as a Noi La Merchat, as something to beautify the Merchat. So this was the idea of Rabba Gamliel expressed in the Mishnah, that the Merchat is not Tofel to the Aphrodite, it's not auxiliary to the Aphrodite. To the contrary, the Aphrodite is Tofel to the Merchat. And therefore, the Isser would not apply to the Merchat at all. It's not considered to be something which is Tofel to the Avodah Zorah. V'chi Omar Nasa Merchat Aphrodite Noi Mai Havi. And if we would say, let's make the Merchat for the Aphrodite as a Noi, as a way to beautify the Aphrodite, so what? Would it then be Osir? But Tanya, behold, we learned in a Braisa, Ha'omer Baya Ze Lavoidus Kechavim, Koi Ze Lavoidus Kechavim, Loyomar Klum, She'en Hektish Lavoidus Kechavim. That if someone said that this house should be for the Avodah Zorah or this cup should be for the Avodah Zorah, he didn't say anything. In other words, it doesn't become Osir, nothing happens. Because there is a din of Hektish to Avodah Zorah. Lahavdil, for Hektish, there's such a thing, Lagavoya, there's such a din as Hektish. A person says this should be for the Beis HaMikdash, it should be Lagavoya, something happens, it becomes Osir Bahanoah. But if a person, Lahavdil, says that this should be for Avodah Zorah, there's no such din of Hektish. It's only if it's actually used for the Avodah Zorah that it becomes Osir. So even if we would say that this is to be used as a noi for the Aphrodite, that this is meant to be something to beautify the Aphrodite, it will not become osur, because since there's no actual use done to it for the Avodah Zorah, there's no actual shimush, it doesn't have a din of Tashmishi Avodah Zorah or of Takruvas Avodah Zorah, and it, just because he designated it for the Avodah Zorah, that's not enough reason for it to be osur. V'ani Oimer, according to this pshat, then Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef is saying, Eino Gnuva, that it's not an incorrect answer, Nihi de Isuri Loi Mitzra. Let it be that it does not actually become Osir Bahana, but Noi Mioika, but it is beautifying the Avodah Zorah. In other words, if they would say, let's make the Merchats as a way of beautifying the Avodah Zorah, then they consider the fact that there's a Merchats there and people use it as a way of beautifying the Avodah Zorah, then everyone who washes in the Merchats is taking part in this beautification of the Avodah Zorah, because that's what they consider to be beautiful for the Avodah Zorah, the fact that there's a Merchats there and people use it. So anyone using it is beautifying the Avodah Zorah, and it would therefore be forbidden for someone to use this Merchats. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel said that since that's not so, they don't say let the Merchats be something to beautify, be annoyed for the Aphrodite. They say the Aphrodite should be annoyed for the Avodah Zorah. Therefore, we say that this is not also because he's not beautifying the Avodah Zorah by using the Merchats. So each one of these Amorayim in the Gemara then explains the statement of Rabbi Oishia that it's a tshuva gnuva on one of the points that Rabbi Gamliel made in the Mishnah. As we saw, Rabbi Gamliel made 3 points in the Mishnah. One, that it can't answer the Merchats because the Merchats was there first. Secondly, that the Merchats is not considered to be a tofel to the Avodah Zorah, the Avodah Zorah, which is tofel to the Merchats. And thirdly, that this is not treated as Avodah Zorah at all. And on each of these points, one of the Amorayim says that Rabbi Yishiya had a reason to say that this is a tshuva gnuva. This is an inexact answer. And Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef defended the answer of Rabbi Gamliel and said that it is not a tshuva gnuva at all. That is a perfectly correct and needed answer.